Time for the Israel Report with Lieutenant Colonel in the Reserves, Maurice Hirsch. Always a pleasure having you on Chai FM. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Good evening, Simon.
So, gosh, there's so much happening, I just don't even know where to start. Let's start with the fact that apparently smoke was seen rising from the Aqaba area after Iran launched missiles towards Jordan. Looks like the Iranians are hitting Jordan hard. Maurice, what are they kind of attempting to strike, and to what extent are the Israelis worried about, a missile landing in Eilat?
So I think what the Iranians are trying to do is to signal more and more to the US and to America that they are pushing the boundaries in order to receive more concessions as part of the negotiations. They're hitting the Gulf countries, they're hitting Jordan, simply because they are easy targets, because they just don't fight back. Jordan has been pounded, and yet it hasn't fought back. The Gulf countries to the same extent, and with the exception of the United Arab Emirates, none of them have responded. So why would Iran not attack them? Because they achieve their goals of posturing for the negotiations, but at the same time, not risking a real escalation of the situation. Obviously, they're being very, very cautious and avoiding attacking Israel, as they have done over the last, really, 11 nights. The US has been pounding them, and they haven't responded by attacking Israel. I don't think Iran is interested in opening that front with Israel. They understand that we are not the Gulf countries, we are not Jordan, and if they do attack us, they will get hammered.
It's really interesting to me because when this round of fighting began and Iran was lashing out as everybody in the neighborhood, after they finished, there was huge apologies. We're sorry, we didn't really mean to. We were forced to, specifically towards Kuwait and Jordan and people like that. And meanwhile, they're doing it all over again.
That's because you just can't trust a word the Iranians say. They are doing what they do best: terror. They're exporting terror to every part of the world. At the moment, it's at a much higher level in the Middle East, and they're attacking everyone and threatening everyone. And really, their restraint on the one hand and their accuracy on the other are both indicators of the fact that when they did shoot at Israel, they shot indiscriminately.
Yes.
Because they didn't hit military targets. They hit civilian targets, and that was clearly their goal. And that needs to be taken into account, that they've shot so many missiles and rockets and ballistic missiles at targets in these Arab and Gulf countries, and they've been relatively accurate. So the only conclusion can be is that when they shot at Israel, they were just as accurate.
Interesting take.
And intent simply on just murdering Jews.
Let's move on to a really important story making headlines this afternoon, a U.S.-Saudi nuclear deal. Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, it's really serious because it makes no mention of normalization with Israel. I can't understand why Trump let that one go. Not sufficient IAEA safeguards. Are we witnessing the start of an arms race in the Middle East? I mean, if this is in fact true, what happens now with Turkey and other players in the area who wouldn't want to be left out of this?
Well, I do believe that we're in the process of a nuclear proliferation. We are in a situation where Saudi Arabia for many years has been pushing for permission to really move forward with a civilian nuclear infrastructure. It's something that many countries have, and I'm not sure that it's necessarily something which has to be an immediate source of concern, given the right safeguards. And that's where really the deal seems to be somewhat lacking, in that there don't appear to be sufficient safeguards to ensure that this doesn't develop from an innocent civilian capability to a malicious a military capability and to a nuclear weapons race, rather than just the proliferation of nuclear energy. That's something which has to be taken into account, and we also have to understand that, as incredible as it may seem, not everything is about Israel.
not everything that Trump does in the Middle East is conditioned on what Israel thinks. And then, and America has its own interest in the area.
Yeah.
And obviously, as a sovereign country, they are fully entitled to make those deals, even without us. Obviously, it's best if we're part of it. But I don't think we can stop them, and I don't think we can criticize them for forwarding what they see as their best interest.
That's an interesting take and an important take. So thank you for sharing that. There's a picture on the front of the Times of Israel of the Lebanese Prime Minister planting a flag in a southern Lebanese village, hailing the start of a complete Israeli withdrawal. I understand that he needs to sell it to his population like that, as if it's this huge success. But he also has to deliver the disarmament of Hezbollah. Is he capable?
So there's a very big difference between what they would actually want to do and what they're capable of doing. I believe that they are capable of ensuring that there is no Hezbollah resurgence in the areas that has been agreed as part of the pilot to hand over to the Lebanese army. That means ensuring that the soldiers that are sent there are not Shiites, that they are part of the Sunni Lebanese army. And they will actually take control of Lebanon as they see it in the, as being in their own best national interest. It's the same as a Saudi Arabia. Lebanon, the Lebanese government should have an interest in regaining control and ensuring that the Iranian cancer that is Hezbollah, which has been destroying Lebanon for so many years, is eradicated. That should be their goal as well.
All right, let's move on to elections, Israeli elections. Again, Times of Israel with the following headline: Netanyahu turns on Haredi allies after draft deal backfires. After shielding Haredi parties throughout the term, the prime minister is attacking them before the election to repair damage among moderate right-wing voters. I mean, this is just an astounding, astounding news story, if in fact it is true. Is that what he's doing now, Netanyahu?
Well, I think that once all of the legislation that could have been passed has been passed, and the Knesset is for all intents and purposes no longer functioning, there's nothing more that they need from the Haredim as regards voting fingers. So now everything is just a free-for-all. It does come with that.
Very ugly taste of
you've been part of this coalition. Exactly. and allowed the Haredim to dodge the draft, but on the other hand, the call is the same to the other parties who could have stepped in and should have stepped in and said, you know what, in order to ensure that the best law passes, we will join the Netanyahu government. Just for that purpose.
Accepting he's but just proved why to, you can't, to, Maurice. He's just proved why you can't, because you can't believe a word the man says.
Well, I think that it's that he honestly believes that that the Haredim should go into the army as part of an agreed framework and not by force, because he knows that you can't send 3,000 policemen to arrest every Haredi draft dodger. That's not going to work. Mm. And so finding that golden route is critical. And I think had the other party stepped in, even in the last 6 months, and said, you know what, we will vote with the government on this subject in order to bring the Haredim into the army, so that you don't have to rely on them, that they won't bring down the government. Then that could have been a wonderful thing for the country. But instead, they chose to cancel Netanyahu personally, instead of also thinking about the best interest of the country. And that's unfortunately part of the ugliness that is Israeli politics.
It's so interesting, because I mean, I hear everything you're saying and agree with everything you're saying. My view on it is just different. I keep on thinking, if he would have resigned and, I don't know, done a deal and become president or whatever it is he wanted, we would have arrived at that same point where we would both want to be, where 75% of Israelis are agreeing on 80% of the issues.
Unfortunately, in Israel, the Haredi population is growing, and is growing in relative power also in the Knesset. there is a very little constellation in which you can form a government without the Haredim. Mm. And the question just is, who's going to give them more? That's unfortunately the way that it's perceived at the moment because of the personal cancellation of Netanyahu. And the left-wing government, Gadi Eisenkot and Bennett and all of them, will give the Haredim anything they want, literally anything they want, in order to form a government without Netanyahu. And they will allow more, as it were, draft dodging than Netanyahu ever agreed to.
I can't believe it.
They have their goal. Because they have no principles. The principles aren't there, unfortunately. Their only principle is just not Netanyahu. And that will lead us and them really down the path to hell. That's how we ended up with a government led by a man who represents 6 seats in the Knesset, 5% of the Knesset, and supported by the Muslim Brotherhood of Ram. Like, who would have ever thought that was possible? And now...
I guess that leads us to...
This is the same Ram that I wrote about a report of them actively supporting Hamas and transferring money to Hamas and their central figures within their party meeting with Hamasnikim in Gaza. And now they're sitting around shaking hands and smiling with Bennett and Lapid. That just because they hate Netanyahu. So they brought us to where we are because they hate Netanyahu. That's not a good move either.
I guess that's why
the path
President
has to be found. To bring the Haredim into the army.
Yeah,
and that's really critical.
Which I also guess brings us to why Herzog said what he did today. And here's a quote: "Elections are not a civil war." He warns of dangerous violence at the outset of the campaign. I mean, is the temperature that high?
I think among the left wing. Of Israel's politics, the tensions are that high. They have shown over and over again that they are capable and willing to use violence. And yes, he understands that violence is a very real option from that left wing. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see it as well.
Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch, as always, thank you so much for your very valuable insights here on Chai FM.